This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, as we wrap up Galway Downs and the Young Event Horse West Coast Championships, we'll hear from Barbara Crabo, who's quite electric, won the five-year-old championships, and Jamie Lawrence, who with Pavi Simfandel won the four-year-old championship. In our sponsors segment, we'll be hearing from Courtney Dyer, who is the Assistant Director of Sales and Marketing at Prefoot. And finally, we conclude our series on the 2015 USEA Hall of Fame inductees as former President Kira Stewart reflects on the career and contribution of Joe Whitehouse, who will be retiring as CEO this year. But we begin with Barbara Crabo, whose homebred gelding, Quite Electric, won the Young Event Horse five-year-old championships on a score of 82.29%. to top a field of 12 entries in that division at Galway Downs in California. And she joins us now, having arrived back home in Arizona. First of all, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
And congratulations on winning that title. That must be very satisfying with a young horse.
It is. I think he's a pretty special horse, and it's nice to hear other people think he's a pretty special horse as well.
Yes, to get that endorsement, of course. So how did that partnership begin with you? He's homebred, isn't he?
Yes, he is homebred. Most of the horses that I ride that are my own, we've bred at this point, starting with Ever Ready. He was my first homebred. And Over Easy is also homebred. And this five-year-old, Quite Electric, he's actually a half-brother to Over Easy. And we still have her mare. The dam. She's our main brood mare right now. Although she's getting up there in years, she's had quite a few babies for us now. And I took her. Her name is Victoria's Electra, and I had taken her to the intermediate level before she sustained a career-ending injury. So she's been fantastic. She was a super super horse as a competitive horse, and she's an amazing brood mare. We liked Over Easy so much, and her dam is no longer with us. But we liked her so much, we thought that maybe her sire would make a fantastic match. Her sire is Quite Easy, and we thought he would make a fantastic match with Victoria's Electra. And I think we were right. We got Quite Electric, who's absolutely beautiful. And actually, because we liked him so much, he's got two full siblings coming along the way. They're babies still, so. So we're pretty excited about all three of them.
You kept the mold.
Yeah, we've got them all still.
Exactly.
I'm good at selling my children.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I'm not good at selling my children.
No, but it definitely seemed to be a successful recipe there. So it was worth keeping the mold. Going into this then, what had he done with you, Barbara? And what last year did you do with him as a four-year-old?
Nothing. He kind of was on the back burner. And I started him when he was almost four. I typically don't start my babies until they're about three and a half or so, and then take it easy. But he just was a bit, I was just super busy last year, and he just got a little bit on the back burner. And so he didn't even go to his first show until March of this year.
And where was that?
That was at Copper Meadows, I believe, was his first show.
And so yeah. How was this year for him then?
It has been a huge growing experience for him. Because when he went to his first show at Copper Meadows, he had probably been off my property maybe twice. That was probably his third time in a horse trailer. And so he definitely got a little bit of a late start, but every time he goes out, he gets smarter and more relaxed about the whole situation. And he's just extremely level-headed and good-minded, and which is nice because he accepts new things pretty much just right out of stride. He really enjoys going to the shows and getting the attention. And I think he knows he's pretty. So
did he take it all in his stride?
He did. He handled it beautifully. And he really thought that it was a lot of fun, especially the gallop part at the end of the jumping phase.
Uh-huh.
That's really fun. I thought that was where it's all at. So, But he just took it all, you know, as we handed it to him, he took it all really well. And he was a little spooky in the dressage, but he's a little spooky anyway. And, you know, when he wasn't spooking at kicking the rail or somebody moving under the tent. He was fantastic. Unfortunately, they were able to see that and not judge him on his spookiness. And then his jumping, he was right on. He was a little distracted in the beginning, but by the third or fourth jump, he was very, very focused and really on it and having a good time.
So what did you take away then from that performance with him, Barb, you know, as you look forward now to going into his six-year-old year and what his prospects mm-hmm. are now?
You know, he's competing at training level right now, and he's handling all the questions really well. He's still is lacking a little bit in the rideability part just because he's green. You know, he doesn't turn real well sometimes if he's distracted, and he's not always 100% with me. So I think he's got a few more training levels in his future before he moves up to preliminary. But when it comes to the jumping and the questions, he's already there. I mean, he just has no problem with any of the questions, either in the show jumping or on the cross country. And his dressage, he's already got the dressage, you know, at home. He's schooling all the preliminary things. So I think probably early in the season he'll be going preliminary, and then with the goal of doing a one star at the end of the year.
Because that was a very competitive field for him there. Were you confident going into it that he could withstand that test and really, you know, show that he did have the kind of prospects that you had anticipated?
You know, I knew he was going to be very competitive. There were some spectacular five-year-olds in that field, and it surprised me a little bit that we beat them. And we actually beat them by a couple of points, so it was a pretty good margin there. So it did surprise me a little bit that he did beat some of those youngsters, because there are some beautiful, really, really nice horses that are actually much farther along in their training than he is, and regularly beat him at the horse trials. So yeah, I knew he'd be competitive with them, but I didn't really feel super confident that he would beat them, so I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, it's one thing to beat them, of course, in the performance sections, but also the confirmation too. That must have been very satisfying. You probably saw it at home, but it's a different thing when you get out in the show ring, isn't it?
Absolutely, because I stare at him at home all the time. I think he's like perfection in my eyes. I look at him, I'm like, wow, that horse is so beautifully put together. And you look at him, and all the parts just are seamless. You know, there's nothing on him that you look at and go, well, if that could be a little different. I look at him and think, wow, that is a beautiful horse. And, you know, even when he was just, you know, a youngster, you know, a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old out in our little turnouts, you know, people going by that don't even know anything about Ben horses, they would pick him out and go, wow, that is a really nice looking baby. And so I know I wasn't just being completely barn blind, thinking that he's a beautiful horse. That I knew he really had a lot of things going for him.
So has this endorsed his place in the barn? Is he going to be a keeper now? Are you going to resist the offers that you obviously will get for him now, having won the championship?
Yeah. You know, I'm pretty good at resisting offers unless they don't seem like the right match for me. And really, right now I'm truly enjoying him. He's not going anywhere. For a long time, you know, I actually just recently sold his older sister, and mainly because she was just far too big for me, and we weren't a great match. I think she's an extremely talented horse. She's 7 now, out of the same dam, different sire, and so I just sold her, which surprised a lot of people that, oh my God, Barb, you actually sold one. But she just wasn't, she and I weren't a great match. You know, she could be really fun to ride, but she also drove me crazy and I drove her crazy, and she was a big, solid 17 hands, and I'm 5'2". And for me, that's just not my ideal ride. Whereas this one, we call him Louie in the barn, he's pretty tall, but he's physically very petite. He's very narrow. He's very, very small in his body. He just has really long legs. And so I don't feel like I'm riding a big horse with him at all.
So you're going to continue the dialogue about the spookiness?
Oh, yeah, that's just him. I'm not concerned about that at all. It doesn't bother me. And like, his sister was very spooky and occasionally still is, but has mostly grown out of it. But the thing is, it doesn't really get in his way. You know, if he, it's not like he decides something scary, I won't go near it. And, usually you can talk him through it in a couple of strides. You just have to be hanging on because his nickname is Scooter. Because that's what he does. Something will spook him and he scoots. He tucks his tail and you have a good four or five strides that he's just bolting. And then he stops and it's like nothing ever happened. And it's kind of a joke. His name is Scooter. But no, I really enjoy working with him. So I don't think he's got to worry about it going anywhere for a long time.
Well, I'm sure he'll be pleased to hear that after he earned you that championship for him. A fantastic win. And obviously to add to his credentials and the prospects that you have with him, Barb. So thank you very much indeed for coming on the program. Congratulations again on winning the 5-year-old championship.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And now we hear from owner and breeder Jamie Lawrence, whose mare Pavis Simfandel won the 4-year-old division. Jamie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Still celebrating from that win in the 4-year-olds?
Yes, definitely. I'm very excited. And I think she's excited to have a couple of weeks off.
Yes, probably now. Exactly. Well, that obviously was a big event for her as a 4-year-old. Tell us her story, Jamie.
I bred her and she went to Andrea Baxter in January and got broke. And then in February came to me and I've been working with her ever since and with the help of kind of Robin Fisher to really just work on making sure that I'm keeping her going in the right direction.
Had you owned the mare for a while? Let's hear her story, how she came into this world and the selection process.
Well, the mare was one that my mentor, Micheline Sterling, found, and she was an off-the-track mare. And she had selected her specifically to breed to her stallion, Pavarotti. And the mare came into the facility, and I fell in love with the mare. And I was like, I have to have her. And so I bought her and started training her. And she was 5 at the time, and she was immature. So I decided that breeding would be kind of in my best interest to give her some more time to grow up. And so I ended up breeding her to Pavarotti, who she'd been kind of selected to be bred to, and then was the result. And I'm just thrilled with how, I mean, she's so talented. The mare I can really see kind of the mare in her as well as the stallion in her. So that's kind of, I hadn't owned the mare that long when I bred her, but I think it was a good cross.
So this was a pleasant surprise then to produce something as talented as this. What kind of personality is she, Jamie? I mean, do you typically get along with mares? Obviously, you've had the mare. Now you've got her. What sort of personality is she?
She's very, very sweet on the ground. She's a little impatient and can be very feisty. But I get along with her great. I think it could go either way. So I've been really careful not to kind of push her beyond what she's comfortable just yet. So she's just been a year of exposing her to things and making sure it's fun and keeping everything very positive and forward so that she wants to come out and do the job, because she's one that if she's willing to work with you, she'll do anything.
A typical mare then.
Yes. So it's just keeping it fun and positive for this year. And I think this winter we'll really start delving more into creating a connection and, you know, going a little bit more into the work aspect of eventing.
Right. What had she done before Galway then this year, Jamie? Where had you taken her?
She did a YEH at Twin in July. And then I was taking my other horse to Rebecca Farm, so I decided that she would come along for that week. That would be a good week for her to spend traveling. So she did Rebecca Farms, YEH, and a novice, her first novice there. And then she had a month off for August while I traveled and did work. And then she came back and did the young event horse at Twin again in September, and the novice there, and then Fresno, novice, and YEH. She'd done a few.
Just to clarify, that was, of course, Twin Rivers in California that she went to a couple of times now. So the preparation was everything that you would hope for then with her, Jamie, taking her to such a big event as Galway Downs.
Yes, I was happy with her preparation. Obviously, her flat work is kind of going to be our weak point right now. but I'm having been so many places, she was really able to kind of be in the bigger venue and show herself off as opposed to being really nervous and kind of tight. So it was nice that she had traveled and she had done this stuff before, so that she was not overwhelmed when she was at Galway.
How did she take it then? Did she, you know, get to Galway Downs and think, this is just another event, and take it all in her stride, given the exposure that you'd given her prior to this?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, our flat work is kind of going to be our struggling point for probably the next year. She likes to get tight. So that she was a little tight and distracted there, but everything else was really, she settled in and it was easy after that.
This obviously is a prestigious event to win and to take that four-year-old championship, Jamie, but what did you take away from her exposure to this level of competition that will help you now as you take her forward?
I think for me, it was just really seeing kind of what she was going to be like in a bigger venue and what she was going to kind of end her potential. And it's nice. I always thought that, you know, she had potential, but it's nice to have that be kind of echoed by people that see a lot of young horses. And it just, I mean, it gives me a lot of feedback of kind of, you know, they, in my remarks, you know, were like, you know, be careful with her upbringing because she could go either way. And so it's just a good reminder for me on how I need to train her and how I want her to develop.
And certainly endorse what you've done so far with her. Clearly an exciting horse for the future. And we should tell everybody that this is not your full-time job. You are an amateur in the sport. Tell people what you do.
I work in production and design for an athletic wear company. So, yes, this riding is my hobby, and it's supposed to be fun, which it is most of the time. And then I'm lucky enough to have a job where they allow me to ride and compete, and I can pull odd hours so that I can get my riding done in the daylight, which is necessary in California.
Absolutely. Do you have any other horses, Jamie?
I do. I have a gelding that I'm currently running around one star and intermediate. And I have another mare that I actually just bred back to Zin's sire, Pavarotti. So next year I will hopefully have another half-sibling to Zin.
What will you do with her next?
I think I will be focusing on dressage and developing that connection. And the eventing season will start again for California in about February or March. And she'll come out at novice and kind of we'll see, you know, what she's comfortable with moving forward with next year. So I would like her to be prepared for the five-year-old, and so she will be trained accordingly and kind of when the flat work is, I think the jumping won't be the issue, the flat work will be the issue. So when the flat work is there and the basics are there, then she'll move up when she's ready.
And who will you be training with?
I'll be training with Robin Fisher.
Continue right with Robin. Excellent. If you had to summarize what this weekend means to you then and winning that West Coast Championship, Jamie, what would it be?
I'm just so excited that, you know, that other people think of as highly of her as I do. And that, I mean, I'm thrilled to be able to have bred her and to be able to breed and produce your own potentially upper level horses. I think everybody's kind of, if you're breeding them, that's what you would want to be breeding. So that's just kind of something that's exciting and gratifying that, you know, I'm producing something that's quality and potentially could be my next upper level horse.
Well, how exciting is that? Absolutely, Jamie. Well, congratulations again on winning the championship and the very best of luck with the mare.
Oh, thank you.
And now in our sponsors segment, we introduce one of our newest partners. The USEA announced in August that Prefet had signed on as a presenting sponsor of the future Event Horse Series and Championships, and is showing their support by donating a top quality safety constructed jump shoot arena to be used for free jumping. And in addition, Prefert is now a platinum level sponsor of the USEA American Eventing Championships, as well as a silver level sponsor of the Young Event Horse Series and Championships. Courtney Dyer is Assistant Director of Sales and Marketing at Prefert, and she joins us now to tell us more about the company and its products. Well, Courtney, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Prefert's excited to be a part of the program.
Well, we're delighted to have you on board as one of our official sponsors here at the USEA. So let's start by a little introduction, Courtney, as to what your role is and what it is that you do on a day-to-day basis at Prefert.
Well, I'm the Assistant Director of Sales and Marketing, and I've been with Prefert for a little over 7 years now. I started out in our marketing department, and I've kind of worked my way up to being involved very heavily in our marketing, our sponsorships, our endorsements. And then in the last couple of years, I've also taken on a role with our sales department as well. We've got over 1,100 dealers worldwide, so they definitely keep me busy and on my toes here.
And tell everybody where you're based.
We're based in Mount Pleasant, Texas. Prefert's a family-owned and operated company, and Marvin Prefert, our founder, started our company in 1964, and his family still lives here, runs the company. We're in our third generation of family leadership right here in Mount Pleasant.
And you sell extensively, not just across the country. Do you sell into Canada as well?
Actually, yes. We've got dealers all over North America, Canada, Mexico. We're in Central and South America. We actually have a large dealership in Australia, and we ship to Germany, Japan, just really all over the world. We're in, I think, over 17 countries internationally and growing all the time.
And talk about the different products that you produce, and then we can come to the one that you're partnering with us on.
Well, Prefert, we're a farm, ranch, and rodeo equipment producer. We produce everything from cattle equipment, like sweep systems and squeeze chutes to confine and contain cattle. We produce several different equine products, from our horse walker to our horse stalls, panels and gates, etc. We do fencing. We produce kennels, a premier grade kennel that are used by commercial operations typically. So anything in the world of agriculture, any type of animal confinement, we like to manufacture those products. We're also a big manufacturer of rodeo equipment, so anything from the National Finals Rodeo to the PBR, bucking chutes, roping chutes, full arenas and such. We manufacture all of that right here in Mount Pleasant.
Well, that leads us, of course, as to why you've been able to create a customized jumping chute for us then, with the experience that you've had with these chutes and equine equipment, as well as moving livestock around. You've provided for us a customized jump chute. Explain to us a little bit about how you came into that and what that involved to customize something uniquely for the USEA.
Well, it was a really exciting opportunity. This was our first adventure into the world of eventing, and so glad that we decided to do that. When USEA approached us and asked for the custom jump chutes, they kind of told us what they were looking for. It was definitely something that we had never built before. So our production manager, Craig Easley, and I, and Kayla Gray, who handles a lot of our sponsorship fulfillment, went back and forth with you guys, trying to figure out exactly what you guys needed as far as height and specs and equine safety. So we were actually able to take a panel that we make called our Premier Panel and then customize that for you guys by raising the height to that 7 foot height, and then taking the wire mesh, the top quality grade mesh that we use on our kennels for the commercial kennels, and then being able to put that over that Premier Panel to build that custom jump chute for you guys. So it was a fun design process. As with anything new, there was a lot of back and forth drawings and trying to make sure that we met your needs, and then also upheld the Prefert quality to make sure that if we sent it out of here with a Prefert name, it was going to be up to our quality standards. So I think it turned out great, and I hope you guys have been very happy with it too.
Well, absolutely, because it's now going to be used as a mandatory class, the free jumping, in the three-year-old division of the Future Event Horse Championships.
You know, in the equine world, most of our experience has been with quarter horses, with roping horses, rodeo-related. So we've done a little work with thoroughbreds in the past, but building something that was going to contain eventing horses that, you know, were going to want to test the limits of height and possibly want to jump that panel. That was definitely new for us. So that 7-foot height, that was a new thing. So we were pretty excited to be a part of that and to take our equine line, because, you know, anybody with a horse could use stalls, and especially anybody with horses in competition could use our horse walker. So we just felt like it was a great opportunity to reach out to a new part of the market that we really haven't tapped into yet, and, you know, show the products that we have to offer that could benefit members of the USCA.
Well, for sure, and we're delighted to have you on board, of course, and with this gives us an opportunity to showcase your other products too that would interest our members. Give us an idea of what that looks like and where they can find more information, Courtney.
Well, the best place to find information about us is our website, and that's going to be www.prefert.com. You can look for us online. You can look at all of the great equine products we make, everything from panels and gates to feeders, of course, our premier stalls. And then the horse walker, you can find that on prefert.com, or you can go to preferthorsewalker.com. And that's really been a big thing for us. We make the premier horse walker in the industry. So anytime it's important to keep your animal conditioned and in good shape, having a horse walker to help you do that is the premier way to do that. So definitely go check out the panel walkers that we offer.
Well, they, of course, are becoming increasingly popular amongst our members, too. So more information on the website. And presumably this gives you a chance, to Courtney, to get out and see the world of eventing.
Absolutely. I was actually able to attend the show in Tyler and watch the championships there. And that was very exciting for me. My husband and I attended the events, and we got to go out to the cross country. And then, of course, watch some of the dressage and the jumping as well, the show jumping, and it was really amazing. It's been really exciting, and we've got several of our sales team that are asking, hey, when's the next show? I want the opportunity to go and see that.
When are we going to see you again then, Courtney, out at events?
I don't know. I really don't know when we'll be back at an event. You know, our calendar gets pretty full, and being here in Mount Pleasant, it's kind of tough to get out of the office sometimes, but we're looking for any opportunity we can to get out there and be a part of your shows. And then, of course, like I said, you can always reach us on the web, or you can call us at our 800 number, which is 1-800-527-8616. So we're always here to support, even if you don't see us at the show. No, we're here in the background and ready to support you guys.
Fabulous. Well, thank you very much indeed, Courtney. We're delighted to have you on board, and thanks for taking the time to come on the program and talking to us today.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's been a real pleasure.
And now, to conclude our series on the 2015 USEA Hall of Fame inductees, former USEA President Kira Stewart reflects on the career and contribution to the sport of eventing by CEO Joe Whitehouse, who retires this year. Kira, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Chris. Good to be here, especially on this occasion.
Well, really, this is a celebration of a career and someone who has made such an enormous contribution to the sport, and you've known for many years now. Where did the story begin for you, Kira?
I think the story probably began when I first met Joe Whitehouse, when I was Area 1 chairman, and that was many moons ago. And she was still up in Hamilton, Massachusetts, and I believe was just beginning to edit the USCTA back then, news. So that's already dating ourselves a bit.
It certainly is, but obviously that longevity has proved invaluable to the USCA over time. And just tell us a little bit about that meeting and how your relationship began, because you played many roles, both of you, throughout the sport.
Oh, I think the hats have been traded back and forth, and many, many different hats. I think I've served about on every committee, and Joe has certainly been a part of every committee. And our friendship certainly grew by being together on these committees and watching the growth of the sport and the association's relationship with what was then, in the very beginning, AHSA, before it became USEF. We went through all those changes. We've gone through a lot of changes together. And just always, Joe was always there to make sure that it was for the betterment of our sport. And she did it with so much dignity and so actually almost behind the scenes, and she would never take any credit for any of it. And so when this award came up, which, as a matter of fact, the Hall of Fame was started under Joe's watch, so to speak, and I'm sure she never intended for herself to be an inductee. It was full circle, so to speak, to say, aha, this person epitomizes what is a person going into the Hall of Fame. And so we're just so thrilled to be able to honor Joe this December.
Let's talk about her early roles with the USCA, Kira, because she brought with her from England, where she grew up, a tremendous wealth and depth of knowledge in the sport of eventing, some of which she obviously was able to convey here, but also build your own system.
I think so. And she, of course, having come from England, knew so many people there, knew the sport so well, was a pony clubber, along with, I have to mention, always watching Western movies on the telly, so to speak, with her dad on Saturday mornings. She was in love with the West. But anyhow, she brought a fresh outlook, I think, to our sport. She knew what had made it grow and become so entrenched in the lives of those people in England. And she wanted to make our sport grow and reach out to more people. And I think that is one of the things that the base of our sport has grown so much under Joe's guidance. And you think of all the things nowadays that she brought along and introduced actually to us, from the AECs to the Young Event Horse to everything that you can think of. All the programs really started with Joe, and she saw them through. The cardiovascular studies, now the research projects that are going on, everything she's had her gentle hand in, and in a very encouraging way to anyone who was the chairman or even remotely had a task on a committee. She was there for everyone, and all, you know, just a marvelous manner about her that made you want to do your very best. And for the sport. And I think that's why the sport has risen to the level that it is right now.
And, of course, she has served many presidents, including yourself, during that time. Talk a little bit about that relationship and what was required of a CEO as far as a president was concerned. What were the qualities that Joe brought to that as far as you were concerned with that relationship?
I served from 2005 to 2007. And it was a very interesting time. We'd just gone through some not too stellar times with both AHSA and USEF, as all the affiliates had. And we realized it was a time, Joe and I did, to kind of open up the doors and bring freshness into our own association. And so to do that, right off the bat in January, after being elected president, we formed a strategic planning committee. And it was not just members of the board. We opened it to many, many people across the country. And we had marvelous big meetings in January and February, and everyone could speak their mind. And with that came a whole strategic plan for the association, and one that is followed in its current state today. And it has kept everybody on track. It has shown where we need to work harder. It has helped the staff and everyone be on the same page. And it was with Joe's guidance that we first got started on this. And to work with her was a pure joy. We always tried to get together over the phone almost every night. I would do it while she was walking one of her many dogs always. And it would be, we'd catch up on the day's work and find out what needed to be looked after the next day. She was on top of everything. And so encouraging to all the presidents that I know that I have served closely with. And actually, we lovingly call her our Jo, because there's just nobody like her. And she is there for you no matter what. And it's a rare gift. And it's, I think we all treasure our relationship with Jo. We have learned so much from working with her, and it's one of the highlights of my life, that I can certainly say that.
Well, of course, one of the qualities of a good CEO is that decision-making, and work ethic, Kira. Talk about those two aspects of Jo's role.
I think she worked 24/7. It was her life. She was always very calm in working. She knew from many years of experience how the wheel would go around, and so we wouldn't have to reinvent it each time some issue came up. I always thought that she was extremely insightful and true to her beliefs, with a really clear vision of the future for our sport. And I thought she had a very indomitable strength of character that you would see if there were stressful situations, she would rise above the stresses of our sport. And even when life threw some bad things in your way, she would just carry on as smoothly and confidently and with great knowledge and perception.
Well, of course, with that comes the values that she has maintained, as well as the ethics, but also her leadership of staff. Kira, speak about that for us, would you?
Well, I think, first of all, in selecting a staff and creating a staff, of which she had to do. I think in so many cases, those people are still there today. And that says just a great deal about her ability to find the right people for the right job, so to speak. And also, in other cases, it would be to train younger ones to come in and to learn a specific job and then either move on in that job or be able then to go outside and grow their own, their own job. But she has a great eye and a great understanding of human nature.
And I suppose...
And the staff...
go ahead. No, go ahead, Kira.
No, and the staff is a wonderful nucleus, and as a president, you work with many, many each head of each department, and they all were on the same page. And that's so important to a president when you only have 3 years to accomplish what you have set out to do. They were there always for you and wanting to learn and see things your way, and it's a very fine working relationship.
And inevitably the time will come when someone retires, and she has made a contribution for so many years now. Of course it's going to be missed, but she's not going to be let off the leash, is she?
No, she's not going to be let off the leash completely. she will be helping with fundraising, and we just can't lose her wealth of knowledge. I mean, she is eventing USA. And the thing about Jo that astounds all of us, particularly those of us who have been fortunate enough to serve in high roles, is her memory is unbelievable. And it never fails her, and it's always right, and we can always call on her. And I think to all of us who have been presidents, she's become one of our dearest, most treasured friends.
Well, I think that's it. She really has developed a family. She's established a family, not just within the USA, but within the sport, a unity that prevails really now, Kira. And I'm curious as to your perspective of what her legacy would be, if it's possible to summarize what her legacy will be with the USEA.
I think part of it will be that she brought it into this century with honor, with a great flair for doing what was right and seeing through all the many suggestions and things, always proposals and all put in front of her, to choose what was best for everyone in the sport. And I mean the lowest level rider up to the top professional. And we never would want to leave out one for the other. And in order to have the top, you have to have the base. And we were, I know Joe and I were always concerned very much about the base, to be sure that we were doing things that would encourage them. And I think the AECs is a wonderful example of that.
And she certainly has always done that with the grace and dignity that we know of Joe. It will be a celebration in December, Kira, at the Hall of Fame inductee ceremony.
It will be. And when we first knew that Joe was retiring, I guess is the proper word, because she retired, at this last board meeting in August, it was like, well, now, we do have to do something more about this than the normal, you know, a retirement party is yada yada. So it was the absolute perfect way to celebrate Joe by adding her to the list of inductees that had already been established for this Hall of Fame. And it will be a marvelous tribute to her. We all look forward to it. We're very excited about it. And at first she said she was just astounded that she didn't believe it. And it's like, this is no one deserves this more.
Perfect.
So we are looking forward to it, as I say, and to again capsulize what is Joe, what she has meant to our sport, is very difficult because she means everything to all of us and to the sport. And we hope we can convey that effectively enough in December.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much indeed, Kira, for coming on the program. And I know there'll be a few tears, I think, in celebration of Joe's career.
Yes, tears of joy, tears of thanks, tears of great appreciation of someone who has given her life, 30 years, to our sport in this country. And happily, charmingly, with great, great knowledge and ability to make things right for our sport here.
Well said, Kira. Thank you so much indeed for coming on the program and sharing that with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Chris. Anytime.
And thank you again to all our guests who have shared their memories of the 2015 USEA Hall of Fame inductees. The induction ceremony will take place during the annual convention, which is being held this year at the Omni Shoreham Hotel and Resort in Washington, D.C. from December the 2nd through the 6th. And you'll find a link on the front page of our website at useventing.com for more information about the meeting schedule and how to register for this year's convention. As well as ongoing news you'll find on the website, you can also follow us on social media for all the latest updates here at the USEA. This podcast is available for download from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app, so you can listen to the show on the go. And that's it for this week's program. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And until the next time, enjoy your eventing.